Well, would you take your Bible this morning and open them to Romans chapter 3 as we continue our study. Romans chapter 3. As you're turning to that, I wonder if anybody in here actually knows why they call dad jokes dad jokes. Because, I mean, every time I tell a joke now, it's a dad joke, and I didn't ever know that I was telling just dad jokes. Does anybody know why they call them dad jokes? They're funnier than most. That's awesome. That's great. Yeah. I told my daughter yesterday on the phone, I said, I stayed up all night last night looking for the sun, and it finally dawned on me. That's a dad joke. Okay. Romans chapter 3. We're going to begin reading in verse 21 today. But now our righteousness comes from God apart from the law. It has been made known to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and they are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came through Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies the man who has faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It's excluded. On what principle? On that of the observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Is God the God of Jews only? Is He not the God of the Gentiles too? Yes, of the Gentiles too. Since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through the same faith. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. Father, I come to you today, and I am so grateful, Father, that Your good news is for every person. Anyone who is willing to listen to You can be saved. Father, I thank You so much that there's not just a pocket of people that You've ministered to, and they're the only ones that have the opportunity to come to know You. Lord, Jesus died for all sin, and we thank You for that. Lord, I pray today that as we go through this message, that, Lord, You'll speak to all of us, including myself, Lord. Help us to hear from You. We don't need to hear from me today. We need to hear from You. I'm asking, Lord, that You speak, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul has now begun to shift his case. As we talked about, he's basically laying out a legal document for the people in Rome, for the people in the church at Rome. And he begins to shift his case from the fact that no one is saved by the law to the new creature that Jesus makes when He saves a sinner. The old sin nature must be exchanged with the new, forgiven, holy nature. Now, this is the picture that Paul is beginning to express to the people at the church in Rome. He's beginning to share with them, it has nothing to do with what you've done in the past, because we've all sinned. It has nothing to do with what you will do in the future. It has everything to do with what you'll do right now with what Jesus has done for you. And he wants to continue to remind them that it isn't a matter of following the law or disregarding it. Now, should we follow the law? Absolutely. It's what it's there for. It's why he gave it to us. Have you always followed the law in every point? No, none of us have. So, it's not about following the law or not following the law, it's about following the giver of the law and giving our lives to Him. So, there was a reminder last week, we talked about it in verses 9 through 20, a reminder of what the law does. The reason that God gave the law, first of all, to Moses, and then on to us, and anyone who will pick up God's Word and read it, the reason He gave us the law is because it sets the standard of God. It's like that little white sign on the side of the road. And it says speed limit 55. It's setting the law. And everybody that goes down that road, is under the law. And you're held accountable to it, one way or the other. You may get away with going 75 or 80 some days, but sooner or later, you're going to see some lights in your rearview mirror, and some nice man's going to come up to your window and remind you that you were exceeding the speed limit. Has that ever happened to anybody here? Of course it has. But the standard is 55 miles an hour or 70 or whatever it is. I like those interstates where it says 80. Get up on I-90, 80 miles an hour speed limit. Yeah. I mean, we can go there. But anyway, the law sets the standard of God. Secondly, it shows that we are now accountable to God. You see, God wants everybody to understand that His law is law. Does that make sense? Now, these are not random laws that people have come up with. I mean, there's a lot of laws on the books today, so to speak, that people have come up with. It. You look at them and you go, are you kidding me? Really? This is a law? I mean, I like to read some of these old laws that are still on the books. I mean, they don't ever enforce them anymore, but did you know that in some towns in the United States, if you actually spit on the sidewalk, you can spend a week in jail? Seriously. You know, there are some laws that probably don't need to be held any longer. But the bottom line is God's law holds us accountable to Him. To Him. Nobody else. It holds us accountable to Him. And thirdly, it gives us the definition of sin and our separation from God because of sin. In other words, God has to show the law so that we can see what the law is and understand it and then realize what parts of the law that we have failed at, that we have broken, that we have not carried through on. So that's the reason the law is there. And Paul's trying to explain that to the people because they're living as though the law is God. And as long as they try to please the law, then they feel like they're okay. Well, Paul says, you can't ever be okay. And here's why. He begins in verse 21 and 22. But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. They give glory to the law, and the prophets give glory to the one who gave them. This righteousness comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference. So in other words, we are justified by the faith that we have in God, not by the law that we try to keep. Does that make sense? Unfortunately, there are so many people in so many different denominations and religions and all kinds of philosophies in this world that focus on the law rather than on the lawgiver. And they feel like if I can just do this and this and this and this and check all the boxes and cross all the T's and dot all the I's, then I'll feel okay about myself. And certainly if I feel okay about myself, then God will feel okay about me. God bases nothing on His feelings. It's not based on His feelings. It's based on what He's done for us. Does God love us? Absolutely. He loves every person. In fact, we kind of differentiate on people that we want to give our love to. Did you know that? We really do. It's easy for us to love certain people. There are some people that come into our life, we think, man, I could never love that person. Really? I mean, honestly, if we're honest, it's like, I don't even want to try to love that person. They're so obnoxious, or they're so diversely opposed to what I believe, or whatever. But God loves every single person. He created every single person. He loves every person. Paul wants them to understand that the righteousness from God has now come down through Jesus Christ. And instead of reading the law off of a scroll, the lawgiver was now in their presence. You see, the law doesn't make us righteous. It's impossible apart from the work of Jesus Christ. You see, we all know we can't keep them all. We can't do everything correctly. We are all guilty as charged. If we were brought before the court of God today without the blood of Jesus covering us, would we be guilty? Absolutely. And so would every person who's ever lived. We would all stand trial and we would all be found guilty as charged. He said, but this is the righteousness of God apart from the law that has been made known. The word made known, pethanoetai, means to be struck with the hand. In other words, it's like God came up and gave us a whack to get our attention. Has ever God ever gotten your attention? I remember as a young boy, we went to church every Sunday. I mean, that's just what we did. And there were times in church when I probably wasn't focusing on what I should have been focusing on. Well, let me just say it this way. There were a lot of times in church when I was not focusing on what I was supposed to be focusing on. I was sitting with friends or I was writing notes or whatever. And you know, we had this deacon in our church. He used to stand in the back. He would survey the crowd. And he would look for pockets of teenagers who were sitting by themselves without their parents close to them. And he would quietly and gently walk up behind them, the pew behind them, stand there, and when that didn't make a difference, he'd give them a nice little tap on the head. You know, I think God is kind of like that sometimes. He's trying to get our attention. He's trying to let us know that doing things is never going to make us okay. What He's trying to do is get our attention with this point, and here's the point. I love you so much that even though you fail, even though you mess up, even though you know what the law says you ought to do and you didn't do it, I still love you. I still love you. Many of you as parents can understand that with your children or your grandchildren. You try to teach them right. You set down rules. You do all the things. You put boundaries out there and tell them not to cross those boundaries. And it's good for us to lay those boundaries out there because they need to know that there are boundaries. But when they cross the boundary, do you say, that's it, I've had it, done, I give up on you? No. What you do is say, listen, I understand you crossed that boundary. And it's not what we had planned. And it's not what we'd hoped for. But it's there because you've already seen what happens when you break the rule, when you break the boundary, when you cross across it. It gets our attention. Every person knows about God in their heart. I believe that 100%. I believe every person is born with that place in their life that can only be filled up with God. Many years ago, there was a little tract that came out, and it was called The Whole Story, H-O-L-E, not W-H-O-L-E. It's called The Whole Story, and there was a little picture on the front of the little tract, and it had this guy who was standing there, and had this big hole in the middle of him. It was empty, and so he felt like he had to fill up that hole, and so he went looking for things that would fill up the hole. So He tried friendship, it didn't work. He tried drugs, it didn't work. He tried drinking, it didn't work. He tried everything that this world was trying to tell him that would make him happy, and nothing filled up that hole until he found Jesus. When he found Jesus, that hole healed up, and he was filled, and things changed in his life. Every person knows about God in their heart. I have not yet to this day, after 45 years in the ministry, I have not yet to this day ever met a little child that I've asked them, do you believe in God? And they said, no. They believe in God. You know why? Because they know in their heart there's a God. But we can only be justified apart from the law. This is a testimony given by the law and the prophets, the Scripture says. Every single portion of God's Word reminds us that it is not the law itself that saves, but it is what leads us to an understanding of the One who can save us. We are justified apart from the law. We are justified through faith in Jesus Christ. Look at what verse 22 and 23 says. I want to read 22 again. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Circle that little word in your Bible, if you will. All. It comes to anyone who will believe. There is no difference. Now, verse 23 says it this way. For all have sinned. And it's the same word, by the way, all. The same word. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You see, the law is the road sign that directs us to Jesus Christ. Now, I remember, and I can't remember exactly what town it was, but it was a town that my wife and I were going through. And this was back before GPS or anything else. This was back when people actually carried maps in their car. Do any of y'all remember that? And so I'm asking her, where are we supposed to turn here? And she's looking at the map, you know. I think we're supposed to turn on this road. And so I turned on that road. But it's not the road we were supposed to turn on. And you can get lost quickly if you don't know exactly where you're going. And so then I think I know the way to go. And so I just make up my mind and I get us lost worse than we could ever be lost. That happens in Houston, Texas. When you first get there, by the way. The law is the road sign that directs us to Jesus. Philippians 3:9 says, and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. You see, no one is left out. There is no distinction between Greek and Jew. There is no distinction between people that live in China or the people that live in America. Every single person is made by God, created by God, loved by God, and comes to God in the exact same way. There's no other way. And by the way, this is an offer, Paul says, that is needed by everyone. All of us have sinned. The Greek, it's in the Greek aorist tense. A mapton, which means a past event that has lasting effect. In other words, once you sin, that will continue to affect your life for the rest of your life. Just like the sin of Adam brought death. And some of you might be sitting here thinking, well, wait a minute, wasn't it the sin of Eve? No. I mean, did Eve sin? Yes. Did the serpent speak to Eve? Yes. But Scripture also says that Adam was with her and he ate of the same fruit that was given to her. He was with her. So it was the sin of Adam who had been charged with this thing in the very beginning of not eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He should have spoken up. He didn't. He was supposed to be the leader. He wasn't. A lot of things have not changed in this world. The sin of Adam, the Scripture says, brings death. It means we fall short. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This is the Greek word hystereotai, which is in the present tense, and it means a continual in nature. Will you ever get to a point that you'll stop sinning? Nope, not till we get to heaven. Hopefully the sins become less and less and less. Less frequent, less graphic, less horrible. But it doesn't really matter. Every single sin is an abomination to God. We fall short. There is a mark that is set for us. What is that mark? It's Jesus Christ, who who is perfect in every way, because He is God. There's a little picture of a target that somebody was trying to shoot an arrow at. How well did they do? Not so good. That comes from the same word. The perfection of God is the center of the target. But every time we try to shoot and hit the middle of the target, we miss. We fall short. That's what sin is. It's to miss the mark, to fall short of God's grace and God's gospel and God's perfection. But then Paul goes on to tell us in verse 24, we are justified freely. In other words, there's no way you could earn it. There's no way that you could try to get there. We are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. The literal word here is dopein, which is translated gratuitously. In other words, we did nothing to earn this justification. You see, when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, what part of that did you play? Well, it was your sins and my sins that put Him on the cross. But what part of the redemption did we play? Nothing. There was no way. We did nothing to earn it. It's a true gift. It was something that was given to us, and there was no way we could ever earn it. There was no way that we deserve it. There was no way that we could work hard enough for it. There was no way that we could keep enough laws to gain it. There's no way. Because we have sin in our life. It's free for us, but it was not free for Him. It cost Him everything. Redemption cost Jesus everything. He who knew no sin became all sin for us so that we could be made righteous in God's sight. That is His atonement. That is what it's talking about. Paul goes on to say in verses 25 through 31, we are justified by that atonement. Look at what it says. God presented Him as the sacrifice of atonement. Now you recall, they were in the process of going through the atonement, the sacrifice of the lamb in the temple that would atone for the sins of the people. Because God is just, it says in verse 25, He did this to demonstrate justice because in His forbearance, He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. But because God is just, someone has to pay the penalty. Someone has to pay for the crimes. And so it had to be the one who had never sinned. Christ was the blameless, spotless, sacrificial Lamb of God. And you might say, well, Pastor, we understand that stuff. Listen, it's different. There's a difference in knowing what He did and experiencing what He did for you. Because again, I want to remind you, there's tons of people that I believe that hear these kinds of words. They might be hearing them today and saying, yeah, we know Jesus paid for our sins on the cross. But has it translated from the fact that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, has it translated to you personally that He died for your sins personally? That sin you committed yesterday that maybe nobody else knows about. God knows about it. God knows about all of our sins. And He cares so much that He allowed Jesus to take the penalty of that sin upon the cross. The Day of Atonement, the Jews were observing that. In fact, Leviticus chapter 16, verses 15 and 16 talk about what happens. The priest will then take the goat for the sin offering for the people and take its blood behind the curtain and do with it as he did with the blood's bull. He will sprinkle it on the atonement cover. That was the cover on the ark and in front of it. And in this way he will make atonement for the most holy place because of the uncleanness and the rebellion of the Israelites, whatever their sins have been. He is to do the same for the tent of the meeting, the tabernacle, which is among them in the midst of their uncleanness. The priest goes and then sprinkles the blood. Who is our high priest? Jesus Christ. What blood of the Lamb did he use? His own. The only ever perfect spotless Lamb. Up until this point, they've estimated over 40 million sheep had been put to death. And their blood lost. But there was finally one who's clean and perfect and whole and righteous. And that's Jesus. So on the Day of the Atonement, the Jews were observing the death of the lamb that was slain for them and the sprinkling of the blood upon the altar and upon the mercy seat. And that was called the Day of Atonement for them. And they were good for another year. But Jesus came that we could have life and have it to overflowing abundance. Have you experienced your Day of Atonement? You might say, well, what day is that? It's the day that you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. What He did on the cross 2,000 years ago, covered the people that lived 2,000 years before that. And it covers the people that lived 2,000 years after that. And it covers every person who will come to Him and trust Him as their personal Lord and Savior. He justified us by His atonement because He is just. God is just. He justified us through His own glory. Look at what it says in verse 27. Where then is boasting? It's excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. You see, justified, we are justified to God's glory. Did we do anything to deserve being justified? Was there anything that we did to somehow make ourselves okay with God? We could never accomplish this. It can only happen in Christ alone. That's why Jesus had to come. He was compelled to come because of His great love for us. He didn't want us to be separated from Him forever. That's why it really bugs me when some people purport that, hey, you know what? There's some people, they don't have a chance. They don't have a chance to be forgiven. They're not chosen. My scripture that's right here tells a whole different story, that God so loved the world that He gave. And that He's so patient. He's not willing that any would perish, but all come to repentance. You see, it's anyone can come and receive the good gift of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we bring glory to God. Let me just summarize what justified means. Verses 28 through 31, as Paul lays it out for us. He says, "For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law." Now, can any of you think of any other scriptures that say the same kind of thing? It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to His mercy that He saved us, with the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Over and over again through Scripture, it reminds us that it is not anything that we could ever do. We are justified by faith. He goes on to say in verse 28, "For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Is the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles as well? Yes, of the Gentiles too, since there is only one God who will justify those that have been circumcised and those who have not by the same faith. Do we then nullify the law by faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. You see, Paul is saying, listen, folks, it has nothing, please, just really understand this. Paul is begging the people at Rome to understand this. You can go to church all you want to. You can listen to anybody you want to online. You can do whatever you want to do. But if you don't have faith in Jesus Christ, the only one who could forgive you for your sins, then you don't have anything except an empty practice of the law. There are so many people that are caught up in cults, in religious things. They're so caught up in trying somehow to please God enough that He's going to let them into heaven. But what they're really doing is being deceived by the evil one who wants to make them think that if you just do good enough, surely God's good enough to take you in. God is more than good enough. He's perfect. And for us to be led into His presence, we have to be perfect. How many of you have reached perfection yet? No hands went up. I'll tell you something. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have received perfection. Not of your own. Thank you. No way there. But you received the only one who is perfect, whose blood counts and covers it all, who takes care of the sin and paid the price for the sin upon the cross. And He has now justified us. In other words, when we stand before God, if you stand there on your own merit, guess what happens? You're doomed. If you stand there by faith in Jesus Christ, guess what happens? You're already accepted into the Beloved. Because of what Jesus did for you. Paul is simply saying this, you cannot earn your way into heaven. It's only through the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment? Your Heavenly Father, it's really crystal clear that so many people are so confused by this. And that the evil one has done a really good job of confusing the matter even more. And I guarantee, Lord, as you know, there are so many people that are caught up in religion, and the devil doesn't even care about religion because it doesn't save. Following the law doesn't save. Being good doesn't save. Going to church doesn't save. Joining a church doesn't save. Being baptized doesn't save. The only thing that saves is the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us upon the cross. Lord, people need You now more than ever. And there's so many people that are so confused and so distanced from You. And they've been fooled and tricked and cajoled and pushed towards things that they don't even know if it's right or wrong, but they think they have to do it. Lord, I pray that every person listening today would understand and be clear on this very fact. There is nothing we can do in and of ourselves to accept Your salvation except through Jesus Christ. We can't be good enough. We can't do good enough. We can't keep enough laws. We can't go to church long enough. We can't do anything that would forgive us of our sins. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ, period. So the question is, have you been justified? As we are right here, right before the Lord, praying to Him right now, the question is, are you justified by the blood of the Lamb? justified, never sinned. That's how God would see you. Maybe you would come to Him this morning and say, I've tried really hard to try to do my best, but I don't feel like I'm ever going to make it. And it's because we can't. Would you just tell Him that? Just say, Lord, I can't make it on my own. I don't know how to do that. I don't know what I should do. But I believe Your Word tells me I've got to trust You by faith to cover me with Your atonement and forgive me of my sins. Would you just tell Him this morning that that's what You want? Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all of my sins. Cover me by Your blood so that I can be justified when I stand before You. If you would pray like that and understand what it means, He would hear you right now. And He will do what His Word says He will do. He will forgive you. He will save you. He will adopt you into His family forever. Wherever you are today, it's my prayer that you will hear that and that you will respond. We're going to have a moment of invitation here in just a moment. If you're here in this building today and you've not yet given your life to Jesus, I'll be here at the front. Brother Robbie's in the back, if you'd rather slip out back, wherever you want to go. But would you go and talk to someone about this? Allow us to share how you can give your life to Jesus and trust by faith in Him. Maybe you're looking for a church home, a place that you can feel a part, so that not work your way into heaven, so that you can understand how you can give your life more to Christ every single day. Whatever it is that God's speaking to you this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to go through this hymn of invitation. If God is speaking to your heart, would you come? Let's stand and sing.